Hello, and welcome to The Squeal, PIC Swine Management Podcast featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. Reproductive success, pulling various aspects of the breeding, nutrition, and farrowing program together to hit targets and schedules repeatedly. I asked today's Squeal Roundtable participants for their best practices and areas of focus. With us are Tosh Farms, Jose Santiago.
My name is Jose Santiago. I work for Tosh Farms. I'm one of the sow production managers. I work under the director, Jay Oliver. One of my roles in our system is help our system reach our goals, develop plans on people, production, and a little bit of everything.
And PIC's Karina Veer and Sergio Canabate.
This is Karina Veer. I'm a swine nutritionist with PIC, and I provide technical support to our customers globally, but with a major focus in the Americas.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sergio Canabate. I'm originally from Spain. I'm based here in North America, and I'm working in PIC reproduction team, focusing mostly in North America, but also supporting other regions.
Excellent. Thank you all for joining us today. We appreciate your time, certainly appreciate your expertise, and looking forward to the next hour or so of our conversation. I want to talk about farrowing rates today, reproductive success. What are some of the trends we're seeing in the industry on farrowing rates at this point?
When we are looking at the different benchmarking data sets that they are currently in many web pages, we can see three different things. The first one could be that the farrowing trend is remain flat, probably in the last 5 years, and here in North America and US, still between 84-85%, depending on the database, and also the top 10% of that sample is still flat, and is based on and 90-91% of farrowing rate. The second thing that caught my attention is the gap between the top 10% and the average is between 5-6 points of farrowing rate, which is a good opportunity. The last one, but I do believe that is relevant, is that the sow death rate in the same period of time increased 1 point by year, both the mean and also the top 10 to 25% of the sample, which is make me think that both farrowing rate and sow death rate are closely related in most of the root causes and opportunities that we can see in the sow farms. And one of the areas probably that they have in common is the quality of female bred.
Just to add to your comment, Sergio, from some of those benchmarkings, and as you mentioned, as a trend, it seems like the farrowing rate in several regions remains flat, but regarding the sow death rate, from the data, once you remove that sow death rate from the analysis, we started to see that the farrowing rate is improving. So again, another indication that sow death rate and farrowing rate are very closely related, and that sow death rate is probably impacting that farrowing rate that we are seeing, or it's one of the main reproductive issues that we may see related to farrowing rate as well.
So the farrowing rate trend, a line that continues to go up, and when you talk about, oh, that's flattened in the last 5 years, does that impact what we thought we'd be doing by now? I mean, we thought we'd be farther ahead than we are now on farrowing rate?
That's a great question. I think that what is pointing out is that it's still been a big opportunity for the majority of the producers, at least from the sow farm standpoint. I think that the industry is getting better in terms of reproduction technology, in terms of semen quality, in terms of all the tools that we use to breed a female. But what's happening is that probably we will have opportunities in other areas that they are not exclusively based on reproduction or semen. Probably we have other opportunities or other constraints in other areas, like a quality of female breed or environment or health. So this is the main take-home message that probably we can take for that flat trend, right? There are other factors that they are not exclusively based on semen and reproduction.
Yes, yeah, Sergio, and let me chime in here. I agree. So when we talk about fair rate, this is a big picture. This is not just one thing. This is a contributor of many things, and every system is unique, but we have to identify why are the fair rates flat? Why are we losing fair rates? And there's much more than, like you say, it's not just about semen and breeding. It goes back to, again, the quality of the animal. You know, is the timing right? Is the body condition right? You know, are we inconsistent on targets? You know, are there peaks and valleys? When are you losing those animals? You know, there's tools that I assume are available to be able to determine that stuff. But when you talk about fair rate, there's a lot that contributes to that. It's not just semen and the breeder or heat checking. You have so many different viable options that you got to look at. I think it's very important that every system, you know, has to invest their time in identifying what that problem is, break it down with the tools available, and be able to see where are you losing that fair rate. You could be losing them, like you say, a late-term sow death loss, and you're looking at breeders, you're looking at the wrong thing, and you're breeding sows that are lame or cull sows that has nothing to do with the other. So I think every system really has to look and identify what the true common denominator of the fair rate is, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm agree with you, Jose. And you mentioned something that is really important. Farrowing rate is just an indicator. And just to make an analogy, from my perspective, farrowing rate is just an indicator like to have a high blood pressure, right? You go to the doctor tells you that your blood pressure is 150 over 100, right? But in reality, you don't have a high blood pressure problem. What you have probably is a kidney issue. What you have probably is an overweight problem. What you have a nutrition problem. It's just an indicator. I think that is important to do not talk more about farrowing rate issue and start talking about reproductive efficiency issues, because it's more than farrowing rate, right? One scenario that most typically we can see is when farms start having some farrowing rate challenge, in most cases, they try to protect the farm throughput and they try to increase the number of matings that they do just to compensate the losses and try to hit or continue hitting the number of farrowings per week. Just to put a easy example, increase 3% of the number of weekly mating in a 5,600 sow farm is 10 sows bred more per week. That it doesn't sound much, but in a 20 weeks reproductive cycle period means 200 more animals being bred, 200 more animals over inventory, right? So farms do that with the hope that they are going to find the main reason of the farrowing rate drop and they're going to fix it. But what happened is if they are not able to fix it, they are going to start another reproductive cycle of 20 weeks with higher sow inventory, probably with a higher pool of animals, questionable animals or opportunity animals being bred, probably with an inconsistent gill pool utilization because they need to bring more gills just to hit those weekly targets, and probably with an inconsistent and high fluctuation on the number of sows bred per week and the number of sows farrow per week. So when everything like that comes together, farms are not having farrowing rate issues anymore. They have a major issues in many other areas. That's why we believe that it's not a farrowing rate issue. It's a reproduction efficiency issue, considering all of the KPIs that we were talking about.
Yeah, and I understand, everybody's been there. You have an issue with your conception rate. You have an issue with your fair rate. You know, you cover yourself, you know, 3% more, 5% more, whatever that is. But if you're doing that for 20 weeks, you got a bigger problem.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You have to find the problem. You got to go identify what is the issue. You know, why do you have that number? You can't just do it forever because, again, you're maybe breeding for that farrow rate issue that you have.
Yeah.
If you are breeding 10, 15 more marginal animals, multiple returns, we all know what the conception rate and farrow rate are. Those are these irregular late weaners or these lame animals just to make a number. You're better off breeding quality animals. You're better off breeding if your farrow target's 270 and your breed target's 300, and you're better off breeding 290 quality animals, hit your farrow target, hit your farrow, good farrow rate, then breed 10 extra animals or 15 marginal animals that probably aren't going to make it. So that's key. You may be, like you said, 200 extra animals, you know, then those animals come in farrowing, and it's just a whole disaster long-term, I guess. You have to identify what the problem is. What is the root cause and identify to fix it. Again, you can't go 20 weeks breeding over. That's not efficient.
This is good. So now you've heard of CSI. I want to be FSI, the farrowing scene investigator. What rocks do we begin to turn over when someone calls and says, we have an issue here? And you've established already, don't let it go. Don't just breed more sows. How can we address this? Where do you start looking?
Well, from the technical services standpoint, the first thing that we need to look at is, well, if they have, for example, 80% farrowing rate, what's happened with the other 20% that didn't farrow? So the first thing is to look at what's going on in there. So we need to look at all this kind of farrowing rate challenge and the reproductive failures perspective, because there are some main reproductive failures like returns and different type of regions. We have southern rate. It's one of the major reproductive failure issues that we can see. We have removals. We have farm opens in early gestation, in late gestation that we usually call NIPs. So we need to analyze where the reproductive failures are happening, in which part of the gestation period is happening, and what kind of reproductive failure issue do we have. If we don't have data, we cannot fix it. We cannot understand the root causes of that issue. So that is going to be the first part of the analysis. Understand what's going on with the other 20-15% of sows that didn't farrow, because knowing that information, we will have a better chance to identify the root causes of that.
Jose, at Tosh, what do you look at first when somebody says that? Where do you begin your search?
Well, first thing, you have to look at the data. You have to know, number one, okay, you're telling me you got an issue. We got to identify where is it, right? Who's fallen out? Where are you losing it? Are you losing it at conception? Are you losing it at after 50 days? Are you losing them? Are they dying? Are they fallen out via boards? Are they returning? Are they regular? Are they irregular? Yep. It's just a whole checklist that you got to go through and to identify, okay, do we have any, an example, if it's conception or whatever, any out of feed events in lactation, or how many late weaners did we have that week? Those animals that fell out, who were they? You know, did they wean? Were they late weaners? It's just a checklist that you got to go through to identify where you're losing it. And once you can identify where your problem is, then you adjust and make changes.
So for example, if we have a peak of sow mortality in early gestation, right? That means that some breeders are not taking the right decision to breed or to select the sows to be bred, right? So that is going to be breeding choices. And if we have more regular returns, we have a peak of regular return, that means that probably it should be something related with the insemination, right? Just depend what is going to be the reproductive failure more predominant, and when that reproductive failure happens, it's going to give us a clue of what we need to look at first. If we need to look at the reproductive size of the area, or we need to look at the sow quality area, we need to look at environment, or we need to look at health. It's just like a prioritization. But we need to have that information first, as Jose said. We need to analyze that information before to even step into the farm, right? Because typically we go to the farm and we review the heat checking procedure, the semen handling, the insemination process. And but we need to get, you know, we need to review that, of course, but we need to do some kind of analysis first before to go to the farm to understand which are going to be the main focus areas to look at.
Good teams and good farms, they're gonna identify where that problem is. You know, it's not like, oh, I don't know where they're falling out. No, they'll come to you and be like, hey, we got a problem. We're losing them here or there. So you look at, okay, what is it? Was it, you know, an appendage station? You know, were they laying? You know, were they biting, or were they, what did they vaccinate and then had some aborts? Where did they lose them? You know, and that's sort of you identify. Did you lose them after you vaccinated? Did you lose them after you moved them? Or after you mix them, did you get aborts? So it's a process of elimination. Like I said, top teams are going to identify, hey, we got a problem. We lost X from this group or X from this group. Or, hey, we came in and we had this much aborts identified. Or we have an issue in gestation or whatever. And then, so that's the clue, right? That's the clue. And then we have to investigate, because standard practice is you're watching semen handling. You're watching wean sow feed intake, condition, breeding techniques, heat checking techniques, spore exposure, you know, proper moving. So it you need that clue from the farm. And that's where your teams come in. That's where your managers come in. And that's where you start, in my opinion.
From a nutritional perspective, I think when we think about farine rate, the initial thought process that comes to mind is, as you pointed out, the semen dose and the breeding and semen management and reproductive management. But like Sergio mentioned, depending on what are the direct causes or the reproductive failures that are actually causing that lower or reduced farine rate. And so if you have a regular return as an example, yet then you would certainly look at these factors. But if what is the major cause of your reduction in farine rate or your low farine rate is cell mortality or cell culling strategies, then you have to step back and take a more comprehensive approach to the issue and start looking at other potential areas that you might not initially look at or that may be forgotten at times, such as the health areas and also the environment. And what we've seen that is one of the major areas that are related to several of these reproductive failures that sometimes is overlooked is the quality of the female and thinking about the body condition of the female, the structure, and again, the guild management and also those culling protocols that we have.
I'm agree with you, Karini. I think that female quality is one of the main forgotten areas. And I think that the industry, in generally speaking, they're getting much better on semen and reproduction. They're getting much better on heat detection, breeding time, board exposure, semen handling, insemination procedures. But if we look at the female quality as a key area to look at, because it's highly related too with cell mortality, right? We can divide it in two sections. The first section could be female condition and structure at breeding. Right. So we are talking about body condition. We are talking about at weaning. We are talking about probably could be, and you know better than me, that lactation, body weight loss, and all the caliper information that probably we can talk about it. And we can talk about breeding cells with lameness or unsound problems, right? That happen more often than we do believe every week, right? Just to farms trying to accomplish the breeding target, right? And then the other section could be the percentage of opportunity females being bred. So we are talking about culling protocols, or we are talking about guild selection and guild quality of breeding, right? So sometimes we need to look at two, what is the reproductive outcome to breed females after one return event or after two returns event, and breeding females after one abortion event. Because just having, just is going to depend system to system, but breeding a female after their first return, they are going to have typically 15 points less of farrowing rate than a gill or two returns, after two return events, you're going to have 30, 40 point less of farrowing rate, right? So considering that is something that we need to look at, the female quality from the nutritional standpoint and also from the strategic calling standpoint.
Yes, that's something that my boss says a lot. You know, are there multiple offenders? You know, there's a pattern there. He's very big on, you know, did she return? Why did she return? You know, what was wrong with her, or what did we do wrong? And is it a continuous pattern? And that hurts you. You get into a vicious cycle when you're just. And it goes back to there's a whole lot more in just making targets, because number one, with a good guilt selection, with a good guilt flow, you shouldn't be missing your targets. We understand one-off things happen, but so it goes back to why you're breeding those multiple offenders. If you have your guilt structure or your system is fundamentally sound in the front end, if you can. There's just so much that goes into this conversation. At the end of the day, we're working with live animals, we're working with people, and we have to have consistency. If we have a fundamentally sound system, we can identify these issues easier. But again, it takes a lot of work to do this.
That's Tosh Farms, Jose Santiago with Sergio Canavate and Karina Veer with part one of a three-part series on The Squeal. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or you're a longtime listener, take a second to subscribe to The Squeal. It's the easiest way to stay up to date with the latest podcast episodes. Just find the subscribe or follow button wherever you listen to podcasts. Already a subscriber? Visit your phone settings and turn notifications on so you'll never miss an episode. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.